The Veterans Affairs Department has been at work on a big hospital near Denver, which might be called the agency's biggest money pit. To finally finish that project, whose costs have spiraled out of control, Veterans Affairs says it wants to tap into a pot of money Congress created to cut patient wait times. I guess it's a stretch. And if it doesn't get approval to do so, VA says there is no backup plan. We get more from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
In a Wednesday congressional hearing, Deputy VA Secretary Sloan Gibson issued yet another apology for the half-finished Denver project, which the department says will require an additional $830 billion to finally complete at a total cost of $1.7 billion. The original price was supposed to be $604 million. But he told lawmakers the department believes the only realistic source of that additional funding is the $5 billion pot of money Congress approved last year to hire additional VA staff and perform minor facility upgrades in the wake of the patient wait time scandal, and that the department does not intend to ask Congress to give it additional funding.
I think in the fiscal environment that we're in right now, the sense was that that was going to go nowhere. Just like the original idea of tapping into the $10 billion went nowhere. And so, again, this, from our perspective, is the least worst alternative that we've got in order to be able to do what we need to do, which is finish the project. And I would tell you, I don't have a plan D, if you will.
Okay.
So if we don't get the funding here, I don't know where we get the funding from.
But members of the House Veterans Affairs Committee were generally hostile to using the $5 billion fund for the purpose VA proposes. Congress would need to pass new legislation giving the department authority to use the appropriation for a major construction project. Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke is among those who worry that facility improvements and hiring programs in other areas of the country would suffer for VA's years of mistakes in Denver.
There was a story in each one of our districts in El Paso. We were second and third in the state for wait times. I'm hearing from constituents who still are not able to get in. You visited El Paso, and I thank you for that. You called the conditions in our facility there unacceptable, in your own words, and yet you're going to take money from potentially facilities like those that serve the veterans that I represent. We're going to divert funds that could potentially be used for what I think is a more urgent crisis, which is seeing veterans who have mental health care needs, who have physical care needs, who are not being seen today. That to me is unacceptable. I'd be much more inclined to support a new appropriation than to take money from veterans who need to be served in communities like mine and communities like those represented by others here.
Dr. David Rowe, a Republican congressman, spoke for several other members when he said he was frustrated that VA has put lawmakers between a rock and a hard place. They're loath to authorize any more funding for what they view as a money pit, but given that the project is now completely designed and halfway constructed, making the decision to walk away isn't easy either.
I don't see how we do anything but go ahead and provide the resources to finish this. But I feel like I need a bath after this. I feel that bad. And we're caught up in this. We can't stop. And you put us in the ultimate catch-22. We don't want to go ahead, and we can't quit. So that's exactly where we are, and you've made us a part of it. And I don't want to be a project manager. That's not my job. I've been a mayor. I wasn't the project manager of anything. We hired people to do that. We trusted them. They brought it in under budget. I'm just one lowly congressman out of 435, but as long as I'm in the Congress, I will never vote to see the VA do a major project again.
And Gibson acknowledged for the first time Wednesday that it would be wise for the department to team with the Army Corps of Engineers for any large, complex facility construction it carries out in the future. He says one of the factors that led to the Denver debacle is that VA's management capabilities had atrophied after having gone 17 years without building a large facility. But he resisted the idea of getting VA out of the construction management business altogether.
Currently, we've got more than 50, quote, major construction projects. Major construction goes all the way down to $10 million. I don't think it makes sense to pull the Corps in on every single project over $10 million. I do think it makes sense for the Corps to be our construction agent on contract on construction of this kind of size and complexity, and frankly, on a number of other larger projects where between the Corps and VA, we sit and look at the elements of that particular project and conclude that their expertise is best utilized there. So even if we wind up working with the Corps in the future, we've got to get to the point where we have lockdown requirements, we understand what it is in general terms that we're going to build before we even come to Congress and ask for funding. And that's been part of our problem, not an excuse.
But there is already legislation pending in the House that would strip VA of its construction management duties altogether. The bill, sponsored by Colorado Republican Mike Kaufman, would also pay for the Denver cost overruns by revoking the next several years of bonuses for Veterans Affairs employees, an idea Gibson has previously described as lousy.
But the only lousy idea I've heard is allowing the VA to continue paying bonuses to bureaucrats who have overseen secret waiting lists, billions of dollars in construction cost overruns, and other travesties that have seriously endangered our nation's veterans. This replacement facility is supposed to directly serve veterans across many states, including Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and parts of five other states. But this isn't just a regional problem. And unfortunately, this is not the VA's only construction failure. The VA has a systemic pattern of failures.
Gibson minced no words about the failure in Denver, saying his department bungled the operation in several ways and that reforms had been put in place to ensure that the experience is not repeated. VA has already asked the Army Corps of Engineers to take over long-term management of the project, and the Corps is in the process of completing an independent cost estimate that it hopes will be lower than the additional $830 billion VA currently believes it needs. The Army Corps would enter into a new contract with the current prime contractor, Kiewit Western, to finish the job, assuming Congress goes along with the VA plan to use funds from the Veterans Choice Act. But the department faces another, even shorter-term problem. Ever since an appeals panel found that VA was in breach of its original contract with Kiewit Turner last December, construction work has been continuing under a bridge contract that is still managed by VA. The funding VA is using to pay for that work will run out by next month unless Congress approves a reprogramming request. If it doesn't, work would have to stop. Lloyd Caldwell, the director of military programs for the Army Corps of Engineers, says that would only serve to drive costs up further.
In addition to the potentially increased cost to complete when it would be restarted at some point in the future, it's not as simple for a project of this nature just to say, let's stop everything. There's a cost associated with the contractors picking up their tools and so forth and closing up what they're doing and leaving the site. There's a public safety aspect of this to ensure that we don't leave any hazards there. There's the aspect of ensuring that the buildings are tight so that there's no deterioration of facilities that are already constructed due to weather and so forth. So there's a lot of aspects of cost that would be incurred if the project would be stopped. Unless the authorized amount for the project is increased, there's not an ability to spend additional funds on it in any case.
Aside from the fact of the staggering cost overruns, members of Congress are almost universally upset about what they perceive as a lack of accountability on the part of VA staffers who made extremely unwise decisions for Denver, including approving the start of construction long before the facility was completely designed and insisting that the facility be delivered based on a firm fixed price. None of the VA officials who made those most crucial decisions are assigned to the Denver project any longer, and only one is still employed by the department at all. But none seem to have faced severe disciplinary action either. The department is in the middle of an administrative investigation board that's looking into the entire affair. 3 weeks ago, the board deposed Glenn Hagstrom, VA's Director for Acquisition, Logistics, and Construction. One day later, he arrived at work with paperwork in hand to retire, effective immediately. Gibson says by the time he had a chance to review the testimony, Hagstrom was already gone.
I recognize that his retirement has been criticized and is frustrating to many. The law allows federal employees to retire if they are eligible and decide to do so. And frankly, as I reflect on 30 years of experience in the private sector, that's pretty much the way it works there too. So while I understand and share in the frustration, I'll continue to pursue accountability actions wherever the evidence from our ongoing administrative investigation board supports it.
But several members found the fact that Hagstrom was allowed to retire to be especially irksome in light of a whistleblower account that came to light earlier this week. The Denver Post reported on Tuesday that a former VA contract specialist, Adelino Garospe, had warned that the project would be widely over budget several months before construction even began, and that Hagstrom fired him for raising red flags. Jeff Miller is the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
And what's confusing is that VA leaders and individuals can make mistakes that cost billions and billions of dollars to the department, and they face no accountability. Yet you have a low-level employee who attempted to blow the whistle, and he could be fired, and yet I keep being told you can't fire people, yet the low-level guy got the axe. So, you know,
it is no more acceptable to me than it is to you, Mr. Chairman.
Gibson says he first learned of Gorospe's account via the news media, but promised that he would ensure it becomes part of the ongoing review board investigation. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.